Morning. Let's open up to Luke chapter 7. And we'll begin with verse 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. This is just an awesome parable that the Lord gave here. Just great, true verses. It's just amazing to consider, really, the debt that we owed before we were saved. It's just amazing to consider what the Lord saved us from and how the debt that we had was just something that was too much for us to ever consider paying. And I tell you what, it's something that I don't consider enough. I want us to bring this text to our mind to this morning as we think about some of those things. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that You would bless us this morning. Lord, I pray especially for those that are here this morning that have never confessed the name of Jesus Christ and have never acknowledged Him, Lord, never turned to Him as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they would consider, and Lord, that they would see the debt that they have, that they would see their sin, that they would see, Lord, just the misery that sin causes in life, Lord, the destruction that it leads to, and Lord, that You would just show them their need of a Savior, their need of salvation, and Lord, that You would just open their heart and reveal Yourself, and Lord, show them who You are and that You would save them. And Lord, I pray that You would speak to hearts today, Lord, for us who are saved, Lord, that You would challenge us, Lord, to be more faithful, Lord, to serve You in a better way, to walk closer to You. Lord, in this week of services, that You would just, as we open Your Word and as we preach and as we hear Your Word, that You would just, Lord, help us to exalt the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, and to catch on fire again for Him and to do what we can, Lord, to, Lord, just be faithful in everything that we do. I pray for those that are sick. I pray for even those of this body that aren't able to be here today. Lord, that You would just bless in each circumstance, each situation, Lord, that I'm not aware of. That You would bring healing to where it's needed, that You bring comfort and grace, Lord, in the other areas of life. Lord, that You would just be with each member of this church. Lord, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we think about this passage here, verse 36 down through 50, I want to bring out three things this morning, three points this morning. Number one, the woman and the Pharisee. Now, what more can be said about the Pharisee that hasn't been said? You know what a Pharisee is, and the first point this morning won't so much emphasize on that, but as much as we'll look at the woman. She was a sinner. Everyone knew it. Now, to the extent of what her sin was, I'm not sure. Don't even care to speculate. The Bible says that she was a sinner. Verse 37, verse 39, it was a common knowledge. It was a common known fact that this woman was a sinner. And the Bible doesn't try to pretty her up. The Bible doesn't try to make her appear any more sinless than she was. But she hears that the Lord is there in this house. And unworthy as she is, she wants to go see Him. She wants to go into Simon's house and see the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder what she was thinking when He entered the room. Or when she entered the room and saw Him. And just, man, there He is. There's Jesus. That's the one I've heard about. That's the one they've told me about. And what does she do? Well, verse 37, verse 38, it's a great passage of love. And it's humility. It's service. It's all those things wrapped up into one there when she begins in verse 38 to weep, wash His feet with tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head. She kisses His feet and anoints them with ointment. What's verse 39 say about the Pharisee? Now, this is a great story of love. This is humility. This is just a reverence. This is service to the Lord. And what's this Pharisee do? You know what he did? He got embarrassed. Verse 39 says, "Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner.'" What does the Pharisee do when he sees this woman serving the Lord and humbling herself before the Lord? Does he consider that, man, maybe I should do that? Maybe I should be more humble and more have a better heart of service. What does he do? He gets embarrassed. And he starts mumbling to himself and thinking within his own heart, you know, yep, I was right. This guy's not really a prophet. Because if he were a prophet, he would know what kind of manner this woman was. I mean, this woman's a sinner. Let me ask you a question, Simon. What's she doing in your house? If she's that big a sinner, what is she doing in your house? If she's just a common knowledge, low-class sinner off the streets, then why is she in your house? You've obviously invited dinner guests. You've obviously invited Jesus Christ. But you're so embarrassed about this woman, but she's in your house. What is she there for? You know what I think? I think that she was there to be exploited. I think the Pharisee here in this passage had this sinner in his house, and his intent was to exploit her. Now, let me just read a couple of passages. Turn to Luke chapter 18. You know, the Pharisees were really good at that. They really liked to exploit the sinners that were around them. They really liked to draw attention to the sinners that were around them. In chapter 18 of the book of Luke, you know the story of the Pharisee and the publican. We won't take time to read every verse, but in verses 9 through 14, you read the story of these two men who were in the temple, and they both began to pray. One was ashamed of himself. One didn't even think himself worthy to come into the front of the temple. He just smote himself and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Then you have this other guy who's a Pharisee. And in verse number 11, he says, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers.'" Hey, I'm even better than this guy. Or even as this publican. He sees that publican there in the temple and, man, I'm sure thankful, God, that I'm not like this guy. You know, you can always tell the real heart of someone when they compare themselves either to others or to the Word of God. They compare themselves to others or Jesus Christ. Now, the Pharisee, he compared himself to that publican. Now, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like him. I'm not, you know, I don't do this like this guy. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. But just there in the temple, praying, seemingly a good thing, seemingly a good act, he's exploiting this publican that's there in the temple. And the whole time that publican's over there getting saved. You know, and that Pharisee's trying to exploit him. "Well, look at this guy. Well, I'm sure glad I'm not like him." I just wonder that day, and it's speculation, but I just wonder, what was that woman doing in the Pharisee's house? If he's so embarrassed by her, and she's so much beneath him and unworthy even to be known, then why was she in his house? Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. You know, that I just wonder what that Pharisee was thinking. You know, turn to Matthew chapter 23. Again, just another passage of a Pharisee who's always holy and always righteous, but that's because he compares himself to other people. Matthew chapter 23, verse 29, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Now, if we would have lived back then, there's no way that we would have done what they did. You know, we're much more righteous. We're much more holy. We're much more understanding. If we would have lived back then, we sure wouldn't have done that to the prophets. We sure wouldn't have done that. We sure wouldn't have done what they did. They killed the prophets. They were just disrespectful, didn't listen to God's word. We sure wouldn't have done that. It's very easy. You know, it's easy to compare yourself to others. You will always find somebody worse than you. You know what? I'm just saying it. You will always find somebody who's worse than you. Somebody who's probably sinned more. Somebody who's probably done something you haven't done. You know, but the real key of spirituality is not finding who's done worse than us. It's looking to the one who's holy and righteous and modeling ourselves after His image and trying to become like Him. That's the real test of being spiritual, is how we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman and this Pharisee. Now, number two, the Pharisee and Jesus. Now, here in this passage, if you turn back to Luke chapter 7, it says, Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Now, before you go too quick and jump into the next passage, see what it says there. And Jesus answering. Now, Jesus is answering Simon. You know what? Simon didn't say anything. It says there in verse 39, he spake within himself. Simon spake under his own breath or within his own heart and his own head, whatever it was, but he spoke it within himself, but Jesus answered him. Jesus knew, he knew his thoughts. Jesus could tell what he was thinking. He could tell what was in his heart. And I just wonder, after he started this parable, what Simon maybe started to think. How did you know I said that? I didn't say anything. It's just really neat there. He said, Master, say on. He tells him this parable. And the parable's of two debtors. It's of a creditor and two debtors. And he says, now, suppose there's this creditor and he has two debtors. And one owes him $500. And the other owes him $50. Now, neither of them can pay. Okay? Neither of them can pay. But he forgives them both. He forgives the guy that owes $500. He forgives the guy that owes $50. Now, Simon, which one of those two debtors did you think would love more? Which two will love him most? And Simon answered, he said there in verse 43, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. I suppose it would be the guy that he forgave the 500 to, because, man, his debt was a lot bigger. He owed a lot more. And man, 500 is a lot harder to come up with than 50. So I would say that it was that guy. And Jesus Christ said, Thou hast rightly judged. And he used Simon's answer to begin verse number 44, because he turns to the woman, but he's still talking to Simon. And he begins to tell him about this woman. And he begins to compare. Okay, Simon under his breath and in his head, you know, wanted to compare himself to his woman. So what does Jesus Christ do? Well, let's see here. Since I came in, this woman, she's been washing my feet with tears. You didn't give me any water. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but did you know that in those days, it was actually a common courtesy when someone had walked to your house. You know, back then they had the common baths and the public baths, and they would go and they would wash, and then they would walk home. Well, when you got home, you weren't dirty. You didn't have to take another bath, but you did maybe need to wash your feet. And it was a common courtesy to offer your guests a tub of water so that they could wash the sand and the dust off their feet. You know, the Pharisee didn't even do that for Jesus Christ. He didn't even give him practically the common courtesy of the day to help him wash his feet. But Jesus said, but since I've come in here, this woman, she hasn't stopped washing my feet. And she's done it with tears. Now, you want to compare yourself, Simon. You, Simon, listen, you didn't show me the common courtesy that you would have shown a dog coming into your house. But you want to compare yourself to this woman and just how sickening and how unworthy and how sinful she is? And I come into your house and you don't even show me the common courtesy? Wow. And then he turns in verse 45, thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. You know, Simon, I came into your house and you know what? I was an invited guest, but you didn't show me any affection. You didn't show me any honor. You didn't come up to kiss me on the cheek. You didn't take my hand to kiss my hand. You didn't, nothing. You know, you didn't even show me any affection or any honor at all. But, you know, since I've come in, this woman, she's not only kissed me, but she's kissed my feet. She's just been so humble and so loving and so considerate that she's kissed my feet. Listen, I like you guys, but I'm not kissing anybody's feet. Okay? I don't even kiss Mandy's feet. All right? But this woman, in verse 45, Jesus said that since the time I came in, she's not ceased to kiss my feet. You see, the Lord saw right past Simon. You know, Simon invites Jesus to come into his big home and his fancy party. But Jesus looked through all that. Jesus looked past the big home, and he looked past the honored guests, and he looked past the big crowd, and he looked right into the heart of Simon. And he heard exactly what Simon said in his heart, in his mind, and under his breath. The Lord saw. He saw past all that. Look in Matthew 23 again. Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. Now here's a good description of a Pharisee, if you didn't know. Matthew 23 and verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garment. They love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. You see, the Pharisees were very big on doing things to be noticed. I mean, they were the ones, I mean, he was even, remember the Pharisee praying, hey, I fast twice in the week and I give tithes on everything that I possess. They were very big about doing things so that people could see them. You know, they would wear these big, large garments. They would just do those to be seen. They would greet each other in the marketplace. Hey, Rabbi, just to be seen of others. They would just do it all to be seen. They loved the chief seats in the synagogues. You know, you'd come to the synagogue and there would be places where they would pray and where they would hear the Word of God taught. But there was a section of seats that would actually face out into the crowd. And the Pharisees loved those seats so they could be seen. They just loved to be seen. You know what? Jesus Christ came into that day and He came into His house, nice house. Honored guests, big crowd. And Jesus Christ, He saw past all of it. And He saw right into the heart. Right into the heart of that man. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, well, it tells us to be the same way, but it talks about how God and how Jesus Christ, you know, they weren't respecters of persons. You know, He's not a respecter of persons. You know, the niceness of the clothes that are worn or the social class or status or the color of skin. You know, the Lord don't care about that stuff. He doesn't care about that stuff at all. He looks into the heart. He can peer and see into the heart, and you don't even have to say anything, Simon. He knows what you're thinking. You don't have to say it out loud. You just think it, and He knows it. You see, the Lord doesn't have to care about outward things. He doesn't have to care about what you do and what you look like or any of those things. He can see in you to what you really are. He can see the innermost depths of your heart and your soul and your life. And He tells that parable to Simon. Just to get Simon to the point to where he understands, you know what? Yeah. The guy who was forgiven the most loves the most. And he used that to show Simon, well, you know what? Then obviously, you don't think you owe very much. Obviously, you don't really think you owe a debt. Obviously, you don't have much of a debt. You know why? Because you haven't done anything. But bring me into your house to show off. Show me your home. Show me your garments. Show me your crowd. Here you got a guy that has a big home. He's got no heart. No heart for the Lord. A big home, no heart. You know what you have in that woman? I don't even know if she had a home, but she had a heart. She had a heart to serve the Lord. She had a heart that came to the Lord and just emptied of herself and came to His feet. Now let me ask you a question based on the parable that Jesus Christ told Simon. Now if you've got the Pharisee and you've got the woman who was a sinner, who was the bigger sinner? You know, neither. Neither was really a bigger sinner. You know what? They were both sinners. Now you look at the story of the two debtors. Now, it's easy to look at, to emphasize the 500 and the 50, but the fact of the matter is they were both debtors and they both had a debt that they couldn't pay. So don't misunderstand. Yes, there is an emphasis that's put on the 500 and the 50, but they're both debtors. They both have a debt that they can't pay. You know, that's the same with this Pharisee and with this woman. They're both debtors. They're both lost. They're both sinners. They both have a debt that they can't pay. But it's obvious that this woman has been burdened and under the heartache. It just appears from this passage. You know, she's like this woman who had that 500 pence debt that, man, there's no way I could ever pay. And when she was forgiven, oh, just an outpouring of love. Just an outpouring of love from her heart and soul for the Lord. And then you've got this Pharisee, which didn't really owe anything. You know, he's not near what the woman was, so he didn't really have to show any affection to the Lord, show any love to the Lord. Well, I tell you what, if we could calculate the debt that we owed, I couldn't even put a number on it. 500 is a drop in the bucket, you know what? If you think about the sin that we had in our lives and the debt that we owed, wow. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. Both of them had a debt. You know that? Both the Pharisee and that woman had a debt. Only one really thought they did. Only one really thought they did. And Luke chapter 5, verse 31, Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And that verse right there gives you a pretty good description of Luke chapter 7, the Pharisee and that woman who was a sinner. One of them, well, they were both sick. One of them really wasn't sick. He didn't really need a physician. The other one did. The other one really did. Okay? Luke chapter 7. She recognized her place and her debt and came to the feet of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, the woman and Jesus Christ. You know, do you ever consider the debt that we owe Jesus Christ for what He has done for us and our sin? Just if you think about our sin debt, man, the sin that we live, that we still do, but the sin that we've lived in these lives and really the death and the eternity away from Him that we've earned, and He paid all that. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and He died to pay the penalty for our sins. Man, that's a debt that can't even be described in numbers. It can't be described in monetary value. It just can't. It's a debt, but it's something that you can't ever even think about paying. And that's what you've got here in this passage of Scripture. Just a understanding of that, a parable telling us about that. Look at this sinful woman, and look at her debt. Why did the Lord forgive her? You know, if you read verse 44, it says that He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee," now this is directed to Simon, "her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is given, the same loveth little." Now I want you to notice this part of it. You know, the woman didn't say anything either. Do you know that? Simon, nor the woman, neither of them said anything. But this woman, and what she did in coming to the feet of Jesus Christ, and just emptying herself there at His feet, all that she had, emptied there. And the Lord looked at Simon and said, listen, this is what it's all about right here. Ever since I've come into this house, this woman has done nothing but come to my feet and empty herself out for me and to me, and you haven't done anything. And the Lord told Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Isn't that amazing? This woman and her sins, and everybody knew it. Everybody knew she was a sinner, but her sins were forgiven. For she loved much. You know what, Simon? This is the debtor that owed the 500. You know what? She's a worse sinner than you, Simon, isn't she? Yeah, she is. She's done a lot more of things wrong than you have, haven't she? Yeah, she really has. She's a sinner and everybody knows it. Her sins are forgiven. Her sins are forgiven her. Can I ask maybe you a question this morning? And there might be some here today that are lost and don't know Jesus Christ. Do you need to be saved? You know, the Pharisee didn't need to. At least he thought. The Pharisee didn't think he needed to be saved. This woman knew she needed to be. You know where she came? She came to the only place in the world where she could. She came to the feet of Jesus Christ. And her sins, which are many, okay? We're not going to pretty it up here. You got a lot of sins. There's a lot wrong with you. But her sins, which are many, they're forgiven. They're forgiven her. And He said unto her, verse 48, thy sins are forgiven. If you're here today and you're lost, do you realize that you need Jesus Christ? You know, I've often heard it said that before somebody can be saved, they've got to be lost. You know, that you've got to get to a place and you've got to come to a point where you realize that you need Jesus Christ. You know why? Because the Bible says that they that are whole don't need a physician. Those that are sick do. Jesus Christ didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know when you'll be saved? You know when someone's saved? You know when I was saved? Let me use me for you. I was saved when I realized that I was lost and that I needed a Savior. You know, I thought I was a pretty good guy. You know, I was faithful to church even as a young boy, and I pretty well knew all the stories, you know, the Bible stories, and even, you know, not just the Bible stories, but I memorized verses of the Bible. We went to Christian school for a few years and memorized parts of the Bible and go to church. And I mean, I'm not a jerk. I'm pretty nice. I mean, I was a nice kid, you know. But I wasn't saved until I realized I was lost and that none of those things could save me and that I needed someone else to save me. And His name was Jesus Christ. And when I realized that I owed the debt, when I realized what a debtor I was, I had a creditor who came and He forgave me of my debt. I had someone who came into my heart, into my life, who died on the cross for my sins, and He forgave me. You know, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You're here today and you're lost and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you need to see that without Him you're lost. Okay? You've got to see without Jesus Christ that you're lost. Okay? If not, you're just like that Pharisee. You know, you're just like him. I like to read 1 Corinthians 6, especially verse 9 and 10 and 11. Because it talks about us. You know, who we are, who we were. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? You know, verse 9 tells you all the people that aren't worthy to go to heaven. You know that? Be not deceived. Okay, don't be fooled. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Nobody who does those things is worthy of going to heaven. Not worthy of going to be with the Lord. And such were some of you. You know what? that verse 9 and 10 is a good description of some of us before the Lord Jesus came into our lives. And you know what we realized? We realized that we were lost. And that these things in verse 9 and 10 had separated us from the Lord. But then we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And verse 11 says, "Such were some of you, but you're washed." You are washed. Things are different now. Things are changed. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Turn one more time to Matthew chapter 5. This woman, the Bible says she was saved. Jesus Christ told her sins were forgiven her. And we don't even know what she said. We don't even know anything that came out of her mouth. But we know what she did. And with the picture that she showed in coming to the feet of Jesus Christ and emptying herself there, man, she was a total contrast to that Pharisee, wasn't she? In Matthew 5, verse number 20, Jesus Christ said this, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." I don't know if you understand the difficulty that Jesus Christ is presenting there in verse 20. Jesus Christ is saying that you've got to have a better righteousness than the Pharisees. You know who was more righteous than the Pharisees? Not really anybody. You know, they fasted and they prayed and they gave their alms and they gave their tithes and they were well respected. They were upper class citizens. I mean, these guys followed the Old Testament. I mean, almost seemingly to the T sometimes, throwing some of their traditions with it. But they were trying to be right down the line. I mean, they were doing and doing and doing everything that they could do. And Jesus says, you've got to have a righteousness better than that. What's he talking about? How can I be better than a Pharisee? How can my righteousness exceed theirs? Well, you know, the righteousness of the Pharisees never got inside. Did you know that? The righteousness of the Pharisee was always expressed in the outward. And what he did, what he said, how he acted, where he went, where he didn't go, what he said, what he didn't say. But his righteousness was always expressed in the outward. And you look at the Pharisee in Luke 18, in Luke chapter 7, the story here in Matthew 5, 6, Matthew 23. You look at all those passages in the Pharisee. He's always righteous outwardly. And Jesus Christ said, you know what? There's a righteousness that you've got to have that's better than that. You've got to have a righteousness that's worked on the inside. And worked in the heart. And that's how the Lord Jesus Christ works. You know, the Pharisee was a better citizen probably than that woman. You know, he was more respected than that woman. You know, he had more money. You know, he was richer. You know, he had probably had more friends. You know, the Pharisee was more righteous than that woman. You know who was saved? That woman was. You know why? Because she had a righteousness the Pharisee didn't have. She had a righteousness that exceeded the righteousness of the Pharisee. It was worked in her heart. And she came to the feet of Jesus Christ because she realized what a debt she had. And folks, I just mentioned this to you today that don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Until you come to the feet of Jesus Christ and you come and confess your sins to Him and you realize the debt that you have and that you're lost without Him, that's where salvation is. And if you can't come to the feet of Jesus Christ, if you can't bow at His feet and humbly confess your sins and trust Him for salvation, there's no other righteousness. There's a righteousness of the Pharisees, but Jesus said you've got to have a better righteousness than that to go to the kingdom of heaven. There's all kinds of righteousnesses. You've got the righteousness of the Pharisees. It won't save you. Okay? Outward righteousness, being like that Pharisee, that won't save you. But being like that woman and coming to the feet of Jesus Christ and realizing, confessing the debt that you have and trusting Him to forgive it, the Bible says that He'll save you. And what a debt we owe Jesus Christ. What a debt. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. For all the sin that we have done, you know what we've earned? Death. An eternity just separated from the Lord. Separated from, you know, not just the love and the mercy and all the attributes of God, but separated from God. Never again to see God's face. Never again to know any blessing, know anything good. That's what we've earned. We've earned that as sinners. Man, what a debt. What a debt we owe. You know what Jesus Christ did? He forgave us. He forgave us of the debt that we owe. And you know what? You can't put a price on it, and it can't ever be repaid. But it's good to think about it every now and then so that we become like this woman and just come to the feet of Jesus and want to serve Him. It makes you love Him more. When you're the guy that has the 500 debt instead of the 50, you know what? You really start to really love Him a lot more. And you know what I've noticed? It's not good to dwell on the past, okay? You know, forgetting those things which are behind. But the more I realize who I was and what I deserved, the more I love Jesus Christ. The more I cherish what He's done for me, for my family, for my church, the more that I love Him. If you'll come to the feet of Jesus Christ today, folks, come to His feet and confess and trust Him, the Bible says you'll find salvation. For the way.